You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined, as always, by Adam Mattis. Adam, just fair warning here. I know you enjoy watching Nikola Jokic play, but you do actually have to shoot on this podcast. You have to speak. It's a very important factor in our dynamic here.
I take offense to this already. I don't even have a witty comeback for you. I wish I did. I got nothing. Slow start out the gate for Adam.
Just like Jokic. Just like your guy. He's still somehow...
I might have a Jokic performance tonight. We'll see.
just so that everybody is understanding here, Adam is a little bit under the weather. He's having his flu game here, but it actually might be a sickness. It's not Jordan's hangover.
Well, who's to say?
That I knew of. All right, so today's show, and you guys know where to find it, and you guys know where to find us, but today's show is going to be a fun one. As always, we try to send you into the weekend with a little bit of fun. There were two or three games that were played on Thursday night that we're going to play bigger deal, basically. Which of those two or three games was the biggest deal? The result, the process in which that game is played, all of that. We'll get to those games specifically here in a second. In the second segment, we're going to talk about the All-Star game and that players are it's actually going to be televised. That's going to be a lot of fun. We have our takes on that. And then finally, instead of doing just, you know, your typical fantasy or your typical power rankings, I already gave it away, we're going to fantasy draft our top five teams each. So essentially, the show is putting together a power ranking of 10 teams, but we're going to get a little competitive with it. But let's start here with the bigger deal. Let's make it a three-game thing, because I think there were three games to really look
now.
At. Well, okay.
You throw a curveball for me here at the last minute. Now I've got to go back and redo my notes, Anthony.
Well,
gosh.
Well, it's,
I'm sure I'll roll with it.
One of them isn't really that big a deal, because I don't think they're a good team anyway. But biggest deal between Boston needing to come back from 22 against the lowly Phoenix Suns, who just waived Tyson Chandler because they're that bad. the Milwaukee Bucks going into Golden State and rolling. It was never really close. Or the Houston Rockets getting rolled by the Oklahoma City Thunder without Russell Westbrook.
So you're going to disagree with me on this one completely, because I think that the Celtics winning, they won. Had they lost that game, it would have been a big deal, because I think we'd all start, you know, not really worrying, but it'd become a conversation piece. What's wrong with the Celtics? But you know what? 82 games is an awfully long time. You win pretty, you win ugly, you win lucky, you lose unlucky. This is how it goes. So this one is a win, not that big a deal. I think Milwaukee beating Golden State. Milwaukee, I think it's a big deal because they might be the best team in the NBA. But the Rockets losing by 18 to the Thunder, to me,
that's
wild. You have written them off, and there might be something to this here. Look, I'm not writing the Houston Rockets off by any means, but I will say I don't have any confidence in them at this moment to be an actual contender.
So I would agree more with you if Boston hasn't been so iffy to start the season.
Yeah.
They don't look
good.
Yeah, they haven't looked very good. And you give me a hard time when I say that I kind of think that they need to consolidate some of their talent here. They almost have too many mouths to feed. And you're hearing kind of grumblings about Terry Rozier not being thrilled about his role and being a little bit concerned about whatever. So that going into it makes me – but I still think, though – in a potential finals preview, one team going in and rolling by 20 and never being the game never being particularly close is the biggest takeaway. Here's the thing.
Milwaukee's good, man.
Here's the thing that Milwaukee and the teams that have always given the Golden State Warriors issues are super long, super athletic, switchy type teams. And Eric Bledsoe just out physicals. It's funny, they made this big deal out of the whole freedom of movement rule setting or whatever
deal.
It is. It just doesn't apply, I guess, with Steph for some reason.
You know what they always say, though, and it is true in basketball, the aggressor gets the favorable whistle.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee, I thought tonight, was just so much more. I mean, look, Golden State was shorthanded. They were missing Draymond Green, who I think is obviously a critical piece of their – I don't think, but I know it's a critical piece. But, you know, the thing – when you watch this game, though, it's funny. I saw – I don't remember who it was that put this on Twitter, but they were right. Giannis looked like – I'm not saying he is. He looked like the most dominant player tonight. I mean, he just – it looked – if you didn't know better and this was the only game you saw, you'd say, okay, that guy's the clear best player in the world and everybody else is trailing him. He had 24 points tonight, but he had 19 at the half, I believe. He was so overwhelming and got to the cup as often as he wants. I think Milwaukee, they were a sleeping giant, I think, last year. But it's really come together, and it's one of those things where they were always better than they think, but now they finally caught up to that.
That Brook Lopez signing to me, it just Brook Lopez.
Yeah, you love him.
It's such a perfect signing for what they need him to be. He provides spacing. He stops people at the rim, and like the thing that I really really like about the Brook Lopez fit in Milwaukee is that you don't want Brook Lopez rebounding the ball. Like you would much prefer Giannis rebounding so that he could rebound and go. And Brook Lopez, over the course of his career, has never been particularly interested in rebounding the ball. He just boxes out and he allows the other guys to get it. And that really fits well with Giannis. Go ahead.
For him tonight, he was good. There's hard to say any but one guy was bad or anything like that in this game. Milwaukee was incredible, but you know, I just thought it was the wing play and, being able to get out in the open court. And it was just, I just thought it was a dominant two-way performance, especially in transition for Milwaukee. And, I'm not going to say they're for real. They've lost a couple games in the last week. So, I mean, they're beatable. But they look like they can go toe-to-toe with anybody. And I personally have them at the top of the league with teams like Golden State and Toronto.
We haven't played this game very much this season, but I like to play like what's the funniest thing that you saw on an NBA night or whatever. And at halftime of the Milwaukee Golden State game, Charles Barkley has his phone out and he's like, I want to take a picture of the score. Phoenix is winning. And then,
oh, Chuck.
And then the next time that they talked to Chuck, they had lost.
Oh, Chuck.
Poor Chuck.
but that Phoenix game, you know, Boston doesn't look good. I mean, that is a storyline. I think that they are talented enough and they are situated well enough to be able to pivot if that's what they need, that I think they're going to be fine. But, you know, Gordon Hayward, it was tough watching him, I'll be honest. They were just in Denver a week ago, the Jamal Murray 48-point game. Gordon Hayward, I just thought, looked really, really slow. He had no explosion. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get to his spots. I mean, I think they're going to be very slow coming along just because they have so many sort of things to overcome. Second and third year players that are now sort of in different roles than they're used to. So Boston, I think, will be fine. But, man, they sure don't look like themselves quite yet.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's going to be plenty of time to give Boston thoughts. But if Hayward doesn't quite turn things around, it gets awkward really quickly out there given his contract and the fact that you have two guys at the same position who are super young and coming up who might fit better anyway. So we'll see.
And one team, there's four games tonight, and I'll just real quick mention, Portland has been very good. They were a team I had coming in I was pretty low on, but they look very good, very deep, getting contributions from a lot of different places. They're one of those teams that rolls eight or nine deep and everybody contributes. So they deserve some mention as well. Maybe not towards the top of the league like Golden State and Toronto, Milwaukee. I think those three teams are sort of separate, but they're right there in that next tier, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're right there with like Denver, I would say. All right, we're going to take a quick second, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this All-Star Game draft, which I'm mostly excited about with a couple disclaimers. You shook your head at me. Why were you shaking your head?
I was like, go for it.
Oh. What? Who shakes their head to go for it?
You just give any type of movement, it means, hey.
I don't know if I ever want to use nonverbal communication with you ever again. No, yes, yes, no, whatever.
Just played war, whoa, and you're kind of complaining to me about confusing communication.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, so the All-Star Game, apparently the players and the players' union agreed with the NBA that it's a good idea that this thing be televised. last year at the time of the draft, or when it was made known that they were going to do this draft between All-Stars, LeBron famously tweeted that it should be televised and all of that. And so it's finally televised.
First of all, it was an incredible decision not to televise it. It's not that this was like, oh, you know, they made the right call here. It was so obvious that they should have always televised it. It's insane they did not last year.
Completely agree. But my thing is, it doesn't do you any good to draft or to televise this draft if all of the participants aren't in the same place for this draft.
But you forget. I'm with you in that it would be best if they were standing on the schoolyard and you had the one guy that was hoping not to get picked. Like, yeah, that would be great. But you forget that we're all on the schoolyard called Twitter. We all get to be in real time reacting to this, including the players. And so as much as, yes, we don't get to see the reaction, you know there's going to be some tweets out like, oh, I see. Like, oh, you picked him over me. I got it.
It makes sense that you, the person who just shook his head sideways, side to side, to say, yes, go ahead, would overlook how important nonverbal communication here is. Can you imagine the look on some of these guys' face? Like, can you, like, imagine if Paul George gets drafted ahead of Russell Westbrook?
Ooh, you're right. Oh, there's going to be so much shade. So first off, who is going to be, last year was LeBron and Steph. Is it LeBron and Steph again?
I was trying to find this out today. LeBron had like it's an East and West thing, and LeBron had this thing where he said something along the lines of it'll be fun to see somebody else do it. I had fun doing it last year. It'll be fun to see somebody else doing it. So I don't know if there's a rule in place saying that you can't repeat as captains. I actually think it's more interesting if they are allowed to repeat, seeing as LeBron's team just thoroughly smashed Steph's team last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. but I think that brings it.
Also, he's just the biggest personality, though. Like, imagine Kawhi Leonard as a captain.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's going to be the worst. Be the worst draft in the history of drafts. So you want somebody that's going to be there, you know, kind of mixing it up and has something to say.
Yeah.
Westbrook and KD.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding? Team Russ and Team KD, let's do it.
I need Russell Westbrook to get drafted. I need to see
Yeah,
that.
You're right. It is way better if he is like not picked. You know, whatever he's picked, he's going to be slighted.
Yeah, he gets picked first overall. Oh, I should have been a captain.
You're right. You can't be. You're right. It's too good.
Is there
go ahead. Okay.
Well, I was going to ask, like, is there anything else that you need that needs to happen for this thing to make sense?
Well, what I want to say, let's just make LeBron and KD the captains just in our head here, because I think an interesting question is, who are the first picks? Like, what is the order there if LeBron and KD, two small forwards, get to pick their team?
Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
I think LeBron's first pick will be the most talked about, meaningless thing in the history. And then imagine if KD drafts Kyrie first overall.
Ooh, yeah, I like it. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, so LeBron could get AD. You know, he could get Anthony Davis. You know, start the rumors early.
Yep.
I like it. KD could just build Team New York Knicks, get Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Chris Stapps.
I guess Chris Stapps still out. I need a live camera on the three of KCP, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball.
Watching the future Lakers assemble in real time.
They're just like, well, that's enough of that. Are we positive, though, it would be like if we were just going off of the two best players? I feel like Giannis has to be one of those guys.
Yeah, but fans are always a year behind on those types of things. So Giannis, soon enough, I mean, look, you're not wrong about him.
Yeah.
But I think LeBron and KD maybe makes the most sense at this point.
Yeah, it's either way, though. Just give me loud personalities in those roles. It's why I'm a little hesitant to have KD there, because
him and Rondo played horse one time. They tried to break horse an event for All-Star Weekend, like during the afternoon, not quite, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was the worst thing I've ever watched, because both guys just shot standstill jumpers without saying a word or looking at each other. It was no trick shots, no personality, no trash talk, just quietly shooting free throw line jumpers.
With how his career went over, can you think of a worse whatever it was, horse player than Rajon Rondo?
You know, he won, though. That was the craziest part about it. In silence, he just won in this boring horse game. So, yeah, neither of those guys.
All right. Well, I don't think we have to worry about Rondo. Well, we're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we purposely went a little shorter on this second segment to give us enough space to get to this fantasy draft. It's going to get competitive. Once you get past the first six-ish teams, it gets a little dicey. So there might be. It's a good thing we aren't doing this in person, is what I'm saying.
You know who we forgot, Anthony?
What?
Joel Embiid. He needs to be the captain. Are you kidding? How did we forget this? He has to be a captain. He would be the most fun.
Is he actually fun? Or, like, I feel like a lot of people are kind of sort of turning on Joel Embiid this year.
Oh, no doubt about it. And All-Star Weekend might be the weekend he crosses the line. You know? Like, oh, this will be funny to make fun of this, and then it goes south and everybody hates him. So,
Al Horford gets picked ahead of him, and he just fights him on the spot.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
See, but this is why I need all of these guys in the same place at the same time for that draft.
You're not wrong.
It's not quite the same thing if they aren't there. All right, so let's what we're going to do, and I'll give you the first pick. I'll allow you to pick first, or you can have
it's not the first pick I'm worried about. It's the 10th one, because there was a big drop-off after 9 in my book.
So what we're going to do, though, we're just going to go back and forth, and we're going to pick our top 5 teams each, and this is going to be the de facto top 10 teams of the NBA right now, and we're going to play this game. We could do this as a moving forward kind of thing, looking ahead kind of thing, but I would rather do it as a right now, the best 10 teams playing basketball right now, and then we'll come back and we'll compare whenever we play this game again what that list looks like compared to this one. So without further ado, Adam, what's your first overall pick?
I know that this is tough for people to understand because they just lost, but the Golden State Warriors have a 120 offensive rating still, even after this stinker. Wow. They have a 120 offensive rating. They only lose when it's a blip on the radar. Somebody's hurt. They don't care, whatever. When they do care, they're absolutely dominant. They are the best team in the league, and I don't think it's particularly close.
It's weird.
Here comes an Anthony. That's what that breath was.
No. I agree with you. I'm actually going to agree with you and take it a step further. It's wild to watch the Warriors play, and then every so often they pan over to DeMarcus freaking Cousins sitting at the end of their bench.
I don't even think about him.
Yeah, even if we're skeptic as far as like what role he'll play and how good he'll look coming back from Achilles, like, that's still a superstar sitting at the end of their bench that they are still rolling through teams this season without that guy playing. It's just insane. My second pick is going to be the very Deers that ran right through Oracle Arena tonight. They look good. I really like the way that this team has come together. And here's the thing that I really like about this team, and I was really interested to see how this was going to go. Now, Steph Curry got hurt, and I think that should kind of factor into your math here. But Steph Curry gets hurt and didn't really play after, like, the third quarter. But Giannis picked up his fifth foul in the third quarter, and I was interested to see how Milwaukee handled that as a team. They're bona fide superstar. I wanted to see how they handled that. They either maintained or extended the lead, and it never was particular. There was a couple nervous minutes. But
they're good, man.
Yeah, that's a good team.
They are one of two teams currently with a top five offensive rating and defensive rating. They have the second best net rating. As much as I say Golden State wasn't at full strength tonight, Milwaukee is good enough that I think they will challenge. I mean, that'll still be, you know, a close regular season. I think that'll be a really, really close matchup every single time. So I think you picked the right team, quite frankly. Although I will say the next team is awfully close, razor thin. I've referenced them a couple times now. It's the Toronto Raptors.
You were going to go with somebody else.
The Raptors, second best offense in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard today said that Kyle Lowry was the team's leader because he's still going to him for advice because he's still learning the playbook and learning all of the little nuances of a new team. So this is a team that I think is just going to get better and better. And by the way, they're already pretty darn good. I believe the only team left with just one loss. Yes.
Yeah. I I can't help but feel like, because I have a rooting interest here, that that was Kawhi saying that Kyle Lowry is still the leader because, well, I'm leaving and I don't feel like being a leader while I'm here. So
you hope at least.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm not sure he's that sold on the Clippers, man. I don't know, man.
It's been weird. The number of Clippers rumors that we got this week was just like Jerry West was just out there like, hey, buddies, can we just get a little bit of positive pub here?
This is going to be a real side tangent here, but I just feel like I have to. Howard Beck had a great piece today or yesterday about the Clippers and an interview with Steve Ballmer. And he was talking about Steve Ballmer's pitch this summer and how he gets all excited and was talking about why go to the Lakers when they have a legacy, when you can create one and with the Clippers. And I just kept thinking like, no, I don't think that's a good pitch. You know, that's like a cherry on the top. Like, okay, and I get to be the pioneer of the Clippers or whatever, but you got to sell them on something else, man. Buy the extra large training facility or something.
That's the kind of thing that you say to yourself and you say to like your friends around you that sounds great as you're saying it, but then you realize, actually, I'm calling this organization a bunch of losers.
Yeah, well, yeah, he kept saying, I don't know, man. Maybe it is. He's more in tune with Los Angeles culture and the demographic he is targeting.
Sure.
But it just sounded to me like that's a reach.
Yeah. No.
You're up with your second
pick. My second pick here is going to be your Denver Nuggets.
Dude, great pick.
They're very good, and they have an identity. And it's and you know, we talked about Portland earlier. And how having carryover from season to season is a good thing if you can build on it. And it really looks like Denver built on it this year. I've really liked the way that they've played this year. And they found ways to win games they shouldn't early on in the season. And then the games that they should have won, they went out and plastered teams. And then they lost to the Lakers, which, you know, I appreciate that.
Just did it all for you. They also... Their offense is like the 17th best offense in the NBA right now. I have to think that they have another level to them once they have put it all together.
Once Barton comes back too.
Which might be not be for a while.
Oh.
Well, no, I am going with my third pick. I'm going to take what I think is – I think there's a big gap after this one. The second – only one of two teams, the other one was Milwaukee, to have a top five offensive rating and defensive rating, the Portland Trail Blazers. They've been very good. They're incredibly deep. We just talked about their depth. I think they're for real. I don't know that they're like a challenger or anything like that to Golden State. But when you look at the rest of the teams in the Western Conference fighting, I think that right now they look like they could go toe-to-toe with any of them.
I was impressed with what I saw from them on opening night. I thought they looked very good. And, you know, there's value to having identity going into a season. I just talked about it with Denver. Same thing with Portland. They understand who they are and they're making it work. And CJ McCollum this year hasn't even been particularly good.
Well, I'll tell you what, who has though is Damian Lillard. And it's funny because you think of Dame almost as a guy that's like already at his peak or whatever. But I really feel players getting better and better later and later into their careers. Just it just seems to be a trend now. So he's playing, I think, the best basketball of his career.
I guess it's my pick next.
Your pick. My team's already set. I've got three of the top five teams, maybe even three of the top four. I won this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it falls off pretty significantly here. I'm going to go with the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay.
Here's why.
Woo!
Kemba freaking Walker. Kemba Walker might be the second best point guard in the league right now.
I don't know. He's having a tremendous year. He's very good.
He's been really, really good. And what it comes down to with Charlotte is I think they got sick and it seems, I mean, they're only 6-5, which I would prefer they would be a little bit better, but, but like they've been hearing now for going on the whole last year was a disaster. And then they come into this year and they seem like a team that is out to prove, like, you guys really should be talking about us a little bit more in an Eastern Conference that beyond the top three-ish teams or so is pretty wide open. And I just like the way that they're playing.
Yeah, their net rating, I think, is indicative of a team that's better than 6-5. They're the sixth best net rating. So, you know, there is some promise there, but not where I would have gone.
All right, where are you going next?
I'm going to go with the team with the biggest winning streak in the NBA right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder. who, after an incredibly horrible start, have now found themselves on a 7 or maybe 8-game winning streak with tonight's win.
7.
It is 7 after tonight's win?
I think it's 7 after tonight's win.
Okay.
Because I thought I heard that, because I was watching their game, and they said something along the lines of, like, they've won their 7th game in a row, and I thought they said 2nd, and I was like, well, okay. But then you look up, and they've actually won, yeah. I believe, 7 straight games.
Well, they opened the season 0-4, so yeah. Since then, now they have not lost. So wins over New Orleans, your Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte, the Clippers, yeah. Who, you know, it's a good win. So a couple good ones in there.
Yeah, and I want to see what they look like when Russ comes back. I like their defense a lot more when he doesn't play.
Mm.
And I think that's going to be a concern for them kind of moving forward. Not to say that Schroeder is anything to write home about as a defender or a team defender or anything like that. I just, Russ gambles too much and it makes me a little nervous. All right, I guess my pick next?
Yes, sir.
Right now, if I had to pick a team right now for how they're playing right now, I'm going with, the 76ers. I'll take the 76ers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I dominated you in this thing. Philadelphia, give me your explanation.
I like a team that has enough talent that's going to figure it out eventually. And I just,
are they, why are they going to figure it out eventually? I mean, I'm being honest here, because they are very talented, but I think they're very, very flawed.
Because it's such a simple solution.
Go on.
Just get Markelle Fultz away from Ben Simmons on the basketball court. Yeah. Like, those two cannot play together. I think I saw a stat. I think it was Derek Bodner had the stat that those two guys have played however many minutes they've played together so far this year. And it wasn't a meaningless number. And they've shot a combined 2 catch and shoot attempts.
Yeah, wow.
That's wild. That's insane.
Well, as a result, you know, their offensive rating right now, they rank 21st in offensive efficiency.
Yeah.
They actually have a negative net rating at the moment.
But I think if and when Brett Brown, I don't know if it's a thing from on high. I usually trust Brett Brown. He seems like a good coach. It seems like such a simple solution that once they figure that out, the team will kind of sort of take off.
Maybe, perhaps. I will take, for my final team, a team that I think is clearly better than them, even though they just lost in their most recent matchup, the Indiana Pacers.
Wow.
I like the Pacers. I think they're for real. I think my guy, Sabonis, that guy is an incredible player, man. Well-rounded, very well-suited for today's NBA. I got Indiana.
That's a good pick. I just feel like they're tapped out.
They're tapped out at a very good team, though.
Very good? You call them very good? I think they're good.
I picked them as my 5th team on my power ranking here, so.
I think they're good. I think they're good. I think they're fine. I don't think they're – I don't see them – it was obvious in the game between them and Philadelphia that Philadelphia was the more talented team, and Philadelphia has this huge fatal flaw that they're for some reason playing through right now. So. I guess last pick here, right?
Yes, sir.
I'll pick. Man, this is a tough one. it gets ugly quickly. It gets ugly really quickly. I'm going to pick the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, my God.
No,
I'm kidding. What a homer pick.
I'm kidding. I don't know.
There aren't really that many great choices, although I do think there's one that's...
No, I think Utah. I think I'll take Utah.
Wow.
I think I'll take Utah. Just to
I was
make
not
our
impressed with
happy.
Utah when they were in Denver last week.
Well,
why Utah? What are you seeing in them?
So Utah, to me, like, we talked about the carryover from Denver and from Portland, and Utah brings in a lot of the same group. And I thought this was a very telling quote the other night from Joe Ingles, and he said that last year they did all of the small things to be able to win basketball games. They did all of, you know, the things in the peripherals that separate on a random Wednesday night in November winning a basketball game. And he said that he hasn't seen enough of that from enough of the guys out there. And when you get something that's so telling and such an on the mark quote about a team, that's at least identifying the issue, and I think they can get better from there.
Perhaps, but so far, I think, you know, it's funny, defensively, they just don't seem to have the same impact so far, mm-hmm. and maybe it's just running bad or whatever, but They are a league average defense right now, and I just find that so concerning at this point in the season for a team that features, in my opinion, 9 very good defenders.
Yeah. Yeah. I still think, though, because defense is all about those small things.
Yeah. Like that is a good quote from Joe Ingles, though. That is an interesting one, because they were the team that sort of had the inspired run last year. But it's hard to be inspired for 82 games. You know, yeah. It works when you're inspired for 26 or whatever
seasons.
It was.
Yeah,
exactly.
True.
So,
all right.
With Utah, I think. Like,
who would you have taken instead?
I think Boston. I mean, Boston's still managing to win games. They're still the number one defense in the NBA. So there's still enough there for me to say, yeah, they belong there, even if they're not the Boston's Celtics we expect just yet.
I don't like the grumblings. Like I don't like the whole Rozier thing. I don't like the way that, like, so I
breaking
said it,
news.
Well, no.
He's unimpressed with the Celtics.
I kind of sort of predicted it once upon a time that I thought they were going to win the title this year. So but like, here's my thing with Boston, and I think in theory, like, if we were just playing NBA 2K, you'd be fine with having so many mouths to feed, and you just make it work, and you spread the ball out, and you just make it work. But when they're, what are they, 11 games into the season, and we're hearing some rumblings about, you know, Rozier isn't comfortable with his role.
As important as Rozier is, just he's not so important that he's going to derail their season long term. I think for them, the bigger issue right now is their offense is in just such a funk. Tatum is settling for a lot of mid-range shots right now. He worked out with Kobe all summer, and for some reason decided
shots
to stop
Kobe for ruining the Celtics.
Attacking the for real. Kyrie's really been the consistent scorer. Gordon Hayward, as I mentioned earlier, really struggling. So. I just think that right now they have to work through a couple that somewhat expected kinks, given just where they are health wise and where they are age wise.
Yeah, and they're expected kinks, and like you're saying, they're winning games, so they could very easily have been that last pick or one of our last picks there.
Their offense can't get any worse. Let's put it that way.
That's I'm always hesitant to say that. It's like in every single movie we've ever seen, the main character goes, well, at least we know it's not going to get any worse, and then it starts raining. So we'll see how these go. I actually kept track of these. I have Adam's list, I have my list. We'll see how that list looks moving forward next time we play this game. Adam just gave an astronomical yawn to send us off into the weekend. It was incredible. So
goodbye, everybody.
Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll talk to you a week.